Hello and welcome to The Culture. My name is Anna.
And my name is Mark.
And this is episode 20 of The Culture's podcast. And today we're actually going to do kind of a follow-up on one of our most popular episodes on the Remnant Fellowship.
Recently popular.
Yes. So if you are a recent listener to our podcast, welcome to this crazy ride. We invite you to continue to listen and catch up on old episodes. But yeah, we just are so excited that you're here and listening. And we were kind of blown away with the response to the Remnant Fellowship episode.
For sure noticed that something was wrong, right? Like, it just came out of nowhere.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, everyone's interested in that particular episode.
Right. So what did I even text you? I text you like, yo, we're at like 800 listens or something like that.
Something crazy. And then it just kept climbing. But yeah. And I didn't honestly even put two and two together. I remember seeing that there was going to be this doc coming out because I was like, oh, there's the lady with the crazy hair again. But honestly, I couldn't even place it with the cult that it went with.
Yeah, because you have a tiny brain.
I do. It's very hard for me to remember all the interesting characters that we've talked about. But... And then it was on HBO Max.
Right.
And so I dabble in some Max, but I hang out on the flicks. So I actually looked for it on Netflix the other night when I went to watch it. But as the numbers kept rising, I'm like, oh my gosh, what's happening? And then you texted me a picture of Apple Podcasts that when you type in Remnant Fellowship, we're the first one that comes up.
Yeah, we are.
And we're not first to anything. So that was super sick.
Yeah, that was so exciting.
So I've made a call to Netflix. I've asked them, hey, what are your next 10 docs going to be podcasts? On? So that we can get ahead of this thing.
That would be pretty sick. But yeah, thank you for everyone who listened to that episode. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the Remnant Fellowship because honestly, I did learn more in these three episodes of The Way Down as seen on HBO Max.
Yeah, it was great. But before we go.
Okay.
I need to check your ego a little bit. How you feeling as you're like seeing these numbers go up?
I mean, let's be real. I'm feeling like the absolute shit.
You're just so excited to be popular.
Pretty much. I'm like, what? Like we posted the graph on our Instagram. Go follow us at the.cult.ure on Instagram. And it's so funny because it's like a tiny, you know, it's steady and then it's a extremely steep peak,
and it probably coincides
with the release
the day
it that like that literally came out. Does it's yeah. Like HBO Max drops it and then we are just blossoming.
Yeah. And you know, this it's sort of funny because I hear this all the time from like I do have some people in my life that they actually like hit on social media, like I wouldn't say viral, but thousands of views on a reel or on a TikTok or whatever. And it's so crazy, like how fast that it's a fleeting feeling, though. Isn't it? Like, do you notice that?
I feel like it's kind of like that dopamine hit you get, like gambling. Like, you're like playing the slots, you get like $20 and you're like, yeah. And you're like, I got to go for it again.
But I also feel like you hit it and you're like, oh, that was super fun. And then now it's like, yeah. I mean
I don't feel that way.
Oh, I'm the opposite.
I'm riding this fucking wave.
I'm like, well, it happened and that's super dope, but that's how I imagine like pros are. Like I can only imagine what Rogan even thinks about or what some of the bigger, you know, Serial and some of those where they're like, wow, millions. That was fun. Okay, what are you gonna do next?
Right.
But we felt like it was only fair because one, I had no knowledge going into Remnant the first time. And after watching that three-parter, which I watched all at one time.
Me too.
So, total binge. I got some more nuggets.
Yeah,
and
for
And I do felt... Now, number one, I felt like we did pretty good.
Yeah, I think...
like, if you had to rate yourself, how'd you do?
My assessment of her was on.
All right, take it easy.
I was a hater.
All right, take it easy.
But it's true. She sucks. Well, she sucked.
She did... R.I.P. She did suck. But... How do you feel like you, so let's take those two things like independently. Do you feel like you did a good enough job covering that group,
Yeah.
start to finish versus what the doc did. Now, you don't have visuals.
Right.
So based on what you said, do you feel good about what you did?
Yeah, I do. I think the only thing that I did not get was into her love life.
Which really wasn't the point of what we were trying to do, but it was a big piece. That is
super interesting. It wasn't related to what we're talking about necessarily, but like today we will talk about it because I find that fascinating.
Yeah, that part was really, I felt we understated it. And then also I really do, I want to go back and look at my rating on that because now that I got a little bit more details about the disciplinary system.
Oh yeah, they're gnarly.
I got to increase my rating on that one.
Right.
Because I was like, oh, this is, as a parent especially, this is super tough to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that. But yeah, I think I was, I thought I did a pretty good job. You know, I feel like the teenage girl who just got her braces off and the boys are starting to notice her.
you just feel like I deserve these looks right now.
I'm being seen, yeah. Finally.
I've grinded it out.
Yes.
I've put in the hard work.
Yeah.
We're on episode 20 now.
Yeah.
And if only y'all would have been with us since the beginning.
Yes. But it's not too late. Y'all can start now.
It is not too late because I promise you the ride's going to get worse before it gets better.
100%. So, okay, let's talk about this. So let's start at the beginning. The beginning of the HBO Max series. So, okay, listen, people, spoilers all the way.
All the way through.
Like, do not listen to this right now if you're going to be mad at us for spoiling this.
Yeah, go watch it on HBO Max.
Yeah. Or listen to it and don't watch it, and we'll just recap it for you.
That's true, too. That's true, too.
Okay, so we start out, it says May 29th, 2021. That was like
a which surprising, ago. I knew that date. Yeah. As soon as it hit, I was like, oh, I know what this is right. about right now. And I was like, all right, I feel like I'm kind of on the inside track a little bit.
Okay, you're about to get the A on the test. Yeah. So we're at Percy Priest Lake, and basically there's news footage showing that there has been a crash, a plane crash.
And they're searching for wreckage, right, in the lake.
Well, at first they're searching for
bodies.
No, before that, they thought there were people that could still be alive.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, what's that term? Victims?
Survivors?
Survivors. Yeah, they're looking for survivors. No survivors. So then they start looking for bodies. And then it's just going to bounce around from here. So, but this is where we start. I noted that the firefight guy was hot.
All right, take it easy. I did not notice that.
Of course you didn't
I was looking
that,
for like a little hand coming up from the water or something. Were the bodies recovered?
Yeah, I think so. Like actually, it didn't say that.
It didn't say or show. They had like remnants kind of like pieces of the plane.
Remnants? Oh.
But did the plane even get... We didn't even get to see the plane get pulled up.
Yeah, maybe it didn't show any of that.
Maybe it's too much. It might be like, we can't show that. Yeah, it might be rude.
Speaking of remnant, it's kind of funny that they're called the Remnant Fellowship because... Like, I think of, like, remnants of food. Like, you get the crumbs.
Little morsels.
Yeah. And that's, like, the mentality.
Dude, shout out to Bakersfield, California. There was a local clothing Christian company that was called The Remnant.
Oh, great.
And it was dope back in the day. And everybody was rocking Remnant
gear.
Was
it, though, or was it a cult, too?
If you know, you know. And I was thinking about them during this. And I'm like, dang, this is time to make a comeback. Like, this could be it. It never went anywhere, but I was like, this could be it.
That's so funny. So, again, I just have to make this comment. Her hair is out of this fucking world.
It is progressively worse.
It is worse.
And they do make note of it.
Yeah.
In there. And my favorite line is that no one had the guts to tell her that it didn't look good.
Yeah. I know. Somebody said she looked like a strung out
hooker.
Which was accurate.
It is accurate, but I also wonder why, now not that the husband had everything going on, because some of the images of his clothing and his appearance were pretty hilarious. Now,
which
sometimes
one? The new husband or the old husband?
The new.
Oh, uh-huh.
Now, sometimes he was hot toddy in his little modeling thing he had going on.
When he was young, yeah.
But then in the older years.
He had a little Botox.
But I'm also like, you're not going to tell your wife, like, switch it up. Your hair is too tall for me.
It's 6 inches too tall for me.
It was really aggressive, but I did like seeing some of the older footage of her where she really did, and they talk about it, represented this idea of like Southern Belle.
Yeah.
It was very like much that, like what they say,
Martha
Stepford.
Stewart.
Stepford wives,
perfect
right?
Perfect housewife kind of. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Now, Brentwood be balling.
Oh, can we move there? Because it's freaking sick.
Let me get them prices. When it's a quarter mile to your house from the street, yeah, I'm all in on that.
Yeah, love that. I was like, okay, Brentwood.
And maybe that is something that we understated. Because I did not get that imagery when we were talking about their community. I think for some reason, I always go Amish. When we're talking about any group, I just imagine like all of the houses in like a circle and we're just doing this.
You think it's a commune.
I do. I think I always go commune. This, not a commune.
No, this is freaking mega millionaires.
Yeah, those houses were sick. And the church was big.
It was big.
Bigger than I thought it
would
be.
Way bigger than I thought it would be. And different than I envisioned. I thought it would be more like modern. On the outside, it was kind of a traditional looking building.
It was traditional. It had like the steeple.
Yeah.
It very much the
brick.
The paneling.
It was brick.
Yeah. Towards the top.
Yeah.
It compared to, because they scan through, right? And they do the whole look of all the churches on every corner.
They look similar.
Yeah. And they're all kind of the same vibe.
For sure. So also in the beginning, if you remember, they start showing video evidence of a deposition she gave.
Yes, video deposition, which is important.
Right. So the lawyer asks her, have you ever shunned a member for not losing weight? And she goes, never. And then they ask her, do they consider you to be a prophet? And then they kind of leave you on a cliffhanger with that.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later. But they show all these clips and it's like, I am teaching people to stop bowing down to the refrigerator and start bowing down to the Lord.
It was so good.
Bowing down to the refrigerator. I was like, oh my God.
The imagery is fantastic.
Honestly, to an extent, like I could definitely see why she could be like intriguing.
She definitely is unique.
Yeah.
And I'm going to listen for
especially prior 6-inch hair.
So this is way down. We're talking way down right now.
The way
now.
Down.
Yeah, we're talking
W-E-I-G-H.
Yeah, the way down.
Yeah.
Which was great because I was looking at, because I said, hey, what was the name of the doc? And you told me and I'm like, well, that's stupid.
Yeah.
And then I realized, oh, that makes perfect
it's
sense
a plan
because
works.
None of it made sense to me at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the way down workshop.
Way down workshop.
The
yeah.
way down workshop.
I'm so curious. Did you ever talk to your mom and ask her if this was ever at your church? Because I feel like this is probably something you little white people would do.
Okay. I definitely could see the book swag and the book tours.
Yeah.
I mean, my favorite was when they went to the news was showing this the story and they had like 4 books. It was not just, my favorite is What Would Jesus Eat? He would eat whatever was available.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't a ton of food
literally.
Around. But all of those books at that time, I feel like there are always just these cycles that come through.
Right.
And it makes perfect sense to use this as a play because it has everything to do with self-control.
100%.
And
it's
of course
all
it's going to work. Right. And that's the ease. You could have replaced weight loss with anything else that people struggle with.
Right.
And it would have been the exact same thing.
Yeah.
This is just tangible.
And it applies to legit everyone because our whole country is so obsessed with thinness that thinness is the ideal. And so if you're not, then, well, something's wrong with you and I have the cure.
Right. And when she went through it, I can't remember what the lady's name was. And she was just like, you know, I just had to just not eat in between meals. And I was like, yeah, that'll do it.
Right.
It's the extra snacking.
Right.
But she's...
Well, I think it's just mindless eating.
Absolutely. Eating, and she would say, you know, you need to eat when you're hungry, which is very normal for most people around the world, not in America.
Correct.
Where food is just a social event.
Yeah. So like it's kind of like what we would call today intuitive eating, which is like eating when you're hungry.
Which has also been around forever and is
for
a real thing.
Yeah. The issue is that she kind of takes intuitive eating and then like really morphs it into something kind of gross.
Well, also breaks you down.
Right.
And, like, she insults you while you do
it. And intuitive eating is not supposed to necessarily be about weight loss. It's supposed to be about having a healthy relationship with food.
Right. And hunger satiation.
Right. And she said, Gwen said, the only hunger cue you can rely on is when your stomach growls, she would say.
Right, which is definitely not true. There are many times where my stomach will growl after I've eaten.
Right, or...
or it won't at all.
Or, yeah, I just... and I would have, like, died. I'm, like, hella hungry.
Yeah, and I would have died already.
Yeah. So, and they didn't really show this in the doc, but she, on several occasions, likened her form of weight loss to the Jewish people of the Holocaust losing weight.
She did bring it, that it was one mention of it, and it's where it was literally from her mouth, so I'm really glad that they showed the footage of it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, can you imagine 2021?
No, dude.
The things that people canceled. Are getting canceled for, oh, you wouldn't even get the word Holocaust out. And yeah. You would be done.
Well, she deserved to be canceled, for sure.
No, I mean, that's obviously so tone deaf.
Like, the most, like, hi, I'm white privileged on a stick.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it was rough. And going through a lot of the things, you know, there's always, like, the idea, even when you talk about the leaders, I'm like, well, I always at least think that things get sort of shifted based on what you're trying to prove, who's actually doing it.
The bias,
But when you hear it from her, I'm like, can't defend you.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so back to the church and the whole church group. Again?
Talk to me about the characters.
Okay. Well, hold on one moment. Let me get there, okay? I love the videos. The weird videos of the kids singing
with
and the weird
great
outfits.
Transitions and like the intro songs and
yes,
so good.
Nothing screams 90s. They showed 90s. The wedding video
yes,
again.
Yes, they did, and they showed more footage from what we saw. I think you showed me the YouTube video on that episode.
It did,
and so seeing it like more full,
yeah,
really gave me. And after seeing Brentwood, I'm like, oh, this makes total sense now.
Also, I didn't realize that they had like a weird show, Gwen and Joe.
Oh, Life with Gwen and Joe? Is this the original reality show?
Yeah, I didn't realize that was a thing. So that was very interesting to see. But let's get into this. So they suspect something I didn't realize is that there's around 2,000 members in Remnant Fellowship. I thought it was smaller, to be honest.
It's hard to get numbers, right? Because we're talking about, well, one, are you talking way down?
No, I'm talking
because
about Remnant Fellowship.
Way down be popping.
That was tens of thousands.
Yeah.
Desert Oasis Convention.
God is Fun Retreat. I was like, pick a worse name. I've seen some really bad names of church retreats and really punny ones. Uh-huh. That one's just really bad overall.
Yeah. So Gwen, she, you know, her house, they call the Ashlawn Plantation.
And her house be popping.
Her house is 7 bedrooms on 25 acres.
It was sick. And when that, what is the comment? When you can land a helicopter in the backyard, yeah. I think you're doing okay.
Yeah, literally.
And hers was in the center, right? And they mentioned it's like towards the center of Brentwood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really nice house.
Yeah. Now, the first character that I kind of started taking notes of was the daughter, Delaney.
Yeah, so they go... We didn't go into Delaney's story, right? This is really micro.
Oh, yeah. We did not know about
this. Yeah, and I mean, it's really brave of her parents to really let us into what that's like, but I think it's all too common as to be like, this... And we've had... Shout out to... The cult fam that's reached out that have said,
oh, yeah,
I've had family where this has happened.
Many people actually, I would say at least 3 to 5 people have reached out to us on Instagram telling us they've had some connection to Remnant Fellowship.
Yeah. And just like letting people into that has to be super tough. And I think they did it out of a place of
desperation.
Desperation for the vid, but also letting people know what this actually does to families. And it's not
right.
always this, I'm 100% in from day one and I actively know what I'm doing. Like people are, I don't want to say like duped into this thing, but there's all these different ways.
It's definitely like, it's like step-by-step coercion.
Yeah. And it can take a long time, but yeah. If you hit it as a teenager, so Delaney comes in first.
Yeah. So Delaney is the daughter of a gentleman and a female that I did not get their names. Oops. Sorry. But Delaney is a teen. The dad describes her as kind of not very independent, very bright, but kind of was still finding her way. I mean, she was like 16.
Yeah. Like, and of course, we're talking about a boy.
Right. So she meets this boy, Jackson, who goes to Remnant Fellowship. And her parents are like, hey, don't treat him differently because he goes to that church. Because like people in the town of Brentwood like kind of have heard whispers about it. But her parents would basically be like, don't be prejudicial towards him because of this church.
It also means that the people of Brentwood are talking.
Yeah.
And I do think this is very like geographical as well. Mm-hmm. Like in this part of the country, like these right. things are much more gossiped about.
For sure. At her church. So Delaney meets Jackson and they start like really liking each other. Mom and dad find some weird texts on her phone.
Yeah, I mean it's weird in terms of the topics, but like we both teach high school.
Yeah.
Like how many burner phones have you seen? Like
zero? What
really?
Are you talking about?
That's such a big thing. Like multiple phones, multiple devices. Like no. I have the, well, I don't know what kind of kids you got.
No, I don't know what kind of kids you got.
My kids got them burner phones, so I feel like that's very normal to have something that's separate from what your parents see. Now, she had like a Nokia flip phone.
Yeah, she had a janky ass phone.
She was on Boost Mobile. But besides that, I think that's a very, I don't want to say normal, but it didn't like make me blink right. differently.
Yeah, but mom and dad start getting concerned because she starts acting all different. And so I love this. They're like, okay, everybody, we're having a meeting at the Cracker Barrel.
Have you ever been to Cracker Barrel?
I have not.
Okay, so I went to a Cracker Barrel.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's delicious. And we had breakfast and it was a serving size for 2.5 people.
This is why the way down works.
This is exactly, this is the reason why the way down exists.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. So dad goes to Cracker Barrel with Delaney and Jackson. And he says to Jackson, like, are you trying to convert my daughter? And Jackson very smugly goes, yep.
I mean, better than
what
hiding
would you do
it?
Though? What would you do if your daughter was like dating some dude that was in some weird ass church and he was like, I'm going to convert your daughter?
So tough. You can't punch a teenage boy.
I think I would.
It's so hard. And you're at a Crackle Barrel. You want to make sure you can get back into that establishment.
Right.
But I'm interested that he was just honest about it. That he just said yes. I don't know that that's super common.
Dick. It maybe. Just sounds like he was a dick, like little arrigant, like, yeah, fuck you, I'm going to do this.
His name was Jackson.
That that's very true.
Shout out to the Jacksons out there listening. Y'all know.
So then, long story short, her and Jackson start really like having this intense relationship. She starts being really deceptive to her parents, lying. They find emails where the church is telling her to lie, how to respond to questions about them, which that sounds freaking creepy. I would be, I think honest to God, if I was her parent, I would file charges. I'd be like, these people are instructing my child to do this thing behind my back.
So like, how, you can't do that. Like, you've heard of that before, though, right? Like with different religions or different groups of saying, this is how you're supposed to respond when someone says X, Y, or Z. Have you seen these? Like these tracks? Like if they ask this question, here's what you should say.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it makes sense to explain things to people. Like, you know, in my church, people are always like, what are the icons about? And so I know
right.
what
I
to
think
say.
I think that this is just that on a not so great and professional level.
Yeah, I think that happened probably more. But when you're telling people to lie to their parents.
Oh, for sure.
And she's a minor, we got a problem.
I agree. I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying it's not unheard of for small groups like this to have that. Because this is not the first time it's happened.
Right.
And then, you know, it classic teen movie, she runs off into the sunset.
Yeah. Well, as we know, that's still TBD.
Right, but she steals the truck. Did she steal the truck or she's just gone? Because she was out crying in the truck.
She, okay,
and then he goes back out and then he says she was gone. Did she take the truck?
No, she just dipped.
Okay, she just walked.
Yeah.
Lame.
No, she probably called her Remnant Fellowship people to come pick her up.
Lame. You definitely steal the truck.
So, anyways, Delaney unfortunately got really roped into this whole thing, and her parents are estranged from her. And she actually got married on the day of the plane crash.
Odd that they kept the ceremony.
But I don't think it is odd, because as we learn in this episode, that they're the kind of people that's like, it's Stepford Wives. It's weird robotic. It's like, everything is fine.
It is, but I think, and you know, she was not supposed to be invited, or she wasn't going to be invited. This is why the parents decide to go. Love that dad walks her down the aisle. I think that's great. Ugh,
that would be so hard for me.
Such a hard scene, but I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you hear about it same day, and it's just like, are you really committed to this thing?
Right.
Or not?
I think she's really committed to him.
I think that's it too.
It's like almost like a mini cult within the cult. It's like he is her cult leader.
Which that's how it's designed to be, right? As we find out in episode 3.
Right. Now, let's talk about Gwen's like kind of upbringing, because they talked about that in the show. And I think I mentioned that she grew up Church of Christ. But I don't think I really knew what Church of Christ meant.
Okay, well, let's just be clear. There are levels to Church of Christ.
Okay.
Why
are you Church of Christ?
I'm not.
Okay.
But I do know people that are, mm-hmm. and I don't want everybody painted as like, this is how every member is. But I would say that she was raised very traditional Church of Christ.
Well, and again, in the South.
Yeah, exactly. And that's like the grain of salt you have to take into it. But yeah, Church of Christ is very strict.
Okay, yeah. So I didn't realize that in the Church of Christ, women weren't allowed to talk.
Or pray in public.
Yeah, that...
Now, should we bring that back, or are we past that?
You need to...
I'm just watch kidding. Watch yourself.
Yeah, so I thought that was really interesting, because it's like, in some ways, you could tell that she carried a lot of the Church of Christ stuff with her, with it being like very much about obedience, like... We're the perfect church. Like, this is God's church, the restoration of the original church on earth.
Okay, but here's what I don't like.
What?
They mentioned it in 3 that her upbringing was a really big part. And they say, you know, typically when you see this, it either goes one of 2 ways. Either you continue to stay submissive and you carry it with you and you do all these things, or you lash out and go the other way. Mm. It's like,
yeah, that's too black and white.
Yeah, man. Those are your only 2 options.
See,
like
I,
that,
I,
like that's a cop out. As right. like, this is how you're going to act when you do this. Yes, like well, I don't like that. Wasn't like this huge revelation that was lifted. Yeah, she's either going to do one of 2 things, and she obviously goes the other way. But she does hold some of those truths,
right?
And she puts them into the leadership model of her church.
We'll get to that in a moment. But yeah. Now, let's just talk about Gwen's theology in relation to eating and being fat. Okay? Because basically what was really drilled into me in these episodes is that you are a sinner if you're fat.
Yeah, you are unholy.
Right, which I knew. I think I realized that. But like when you're seeing these people who were in her group and they're literally being like, they told me that I wasn't being obedient to God, which is why I'm fat. That's fucking gross.
It's crazy, right? Like, yeah. And you're watching it and you're watching everyone celebrate these numbers. 65 pounds, 78 pounds, okay, 135 pounds.
I'm like, what? it didn't look like
and,
that.
And also I'm like,
they would have all this flabby skin.
How true is this?
Yeah, I don't buy it. To be honest, I don't buy all of it.
It's really gimmicky. It's really 2 a.m. infomercially to me when you look at these results. And then you see her. There's a fantastic image that I love. She joins this lady on stage and they both like stand behind this pair of pants that they would both fit into.
Yeah.
And Gwen just gives like this smile that's just like, I can't even describe it, but she's just knowing that I have you right now in this moment.
Here's my question to you. Do you think at all if she was genuine? Like, do you think she had, like, do you think that she was, like, proud of helping people and, like, actually enjoyed helping people? Or do you think that she enjoyed having control over people? Or both?
I really do want to believe that she thought that she was maybe onto something with self-control. And food. I really do. Looking,
but do you think that she was doing that to benefit others or to benefit herself?
I think at the very beginning, I think that she thought this was a way to have a voice. Mm. And it was a message that she thought was going to ring true with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, I think that she was on a path of sort of self-reflection. And right. self-evaluation, which I think is always a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, whatever our vices are, and we all have them, mm-hmm. like, sometimes it is good to evaluate what's taking place. Now, the way that she played it out and how she was able just to crush your spirits, obviously not healthy and obviously not good. But once she had this thing going, I mean, you think about it. Look at what we just talked about with our audience. Like, to some people, this audience is such small potatoes.
Right.
Like it doesn't do anything. And maybe if you're in the Way Down workshop, you just have it at one church and you're like, well, let's just see what happens. Mm-hmm. Once you hop to another church, once people are actually reading what you're putting out,
yeah,
you're like, oh, I'm on to something. I either continue or I double down. And she doubled down 9 times and people stayed with her.
Right.
But then some people didn't.
Here's the thing, though. Yes, I do think, I personally think that maybe she went into it with okay intentions. I want to help people. I think I have something that could help people. However, when, you know, the one lady, I think her name was Terry, she said that she was in her room and in her bedroom, there's this big plasma TV. And what is playing?
Her Larry King interview?
Yes, so, on repeat.
Dude, so narcissistic. She's
a freaking narcissist, dude. So that's what makes me think then maybe not. Because, like, I get it. Like, do I listen to our own episodes? Yeah, I do. Once.
Are you the reason why we have so no. many views on that episode?
No, I swear maybe. To God, no. I listened to it maybe once. But, like, our most recent ones I haven't listened to. But like,
that's different though. Like, let's be honest. Like, that's not the same thing. Like, if you had it playing on repeat, if you were telling everyone in the world that you knew on a weekly basis right. how great your message is and how unique it is and how you are here to save people,
yeah,
those are two very
that's
different
true.
Things.
That's true. So yeah, that makes me very really wary of her. Now. Let's talk a little bit about her husband.
First or second?
Well, let's mention the first. And
because
then
the first is interesting.
Yeah.
And they don't do a great job of backgrounding
yeah,
first
husband.
Yeah, because
it doesn't really say how they met and all
no.
that.
Like, all you know is that she was and then she wasn't.
She was married to him for 40 years.
Oh, the most time.
I'm like, is she even that old? She's been married since she was freaking 16.
It must have been super young.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm glad that they bring this in is because of how harsh she goes on divorce.
Yeah. So, okay. So her former members, people that were in the group, there was a woman named Gina, there was one named Terry, there was one named Helen.
Shout out to Helen as being my all-time favorite character.
Helen just speaks truth.
Just quote of the season, and I love her. Shout out to Helen Bird.
Yeah, so basically, they're talking about how she was very, very much vehemently against divorce because, I mean, divorce isn't biblical. It's not something that is promoted among many Christian circles.
And definitely in the South.
100%.
So she's not far off of her base. Right. But when you look at her life and how she actively, this is active. Mm-hmm. She didn't passively just like let it lie. She wanted you to know nothing of her previous marriage.
Yeah. And like the people, like the woman Gina, who was a longtime member, discussed how her husband was unfaithful to her. He had drug addictions, like bad stuff. And Gwen was like, no, you cannot get a divorce. You're not allowed. And yet Jo Lara pops up and it's like, JK, God's like, it's chill.
And he could not be any more scummy.
Oh, I just want to talk about him because he is gross.
So scummy.
Have you seen...
Well, he's Tarzan.
Dirty John?
He's Tarzan. Yes, he is Dirty John.
Yeah. He's Dirty John.
Shout out to Dirty John, available on podcast now.
Yeah. So basically, Jo Lara was this actor, kind of a really low actor.
He's like, a leech.
Like a D-list actor.
For sure. He is Lifetime movie.
If that.
If that. And struggling. But he's a leech.
So Jo Lara, he is this actor out of sunny California. And... you know, he's struggling.
Actor slash musician. Can we give cred where cred's due?
I can't, actually. I refuse.
I will pick up that album on Spotify now.
So, Joe's kind of bouncing around. Sounds like Joe was a spoiled rich kid who never learned his own money. And so just learned to depend on other people because his stepdaddy was rich.
And also not even depend, but manipulate people.
For sure.
This is active.
Yeah. Because they talk about him. Some former classmates of him talk about how he, starting in his 20s, started dating older women. Moving in with these older women.
Yeah, definite pattern.
And then all these older women buying things for him. And then he screws around, you know.
Gets his motorcycle lit on fire.
Cheats on these great. Old women.
And then he
and then moves in with another one.
Yeah, and then he finds a new one.
Yeah. So he's just like a sugar baby, but like grosser. Because it's like, I feel like with sugar babies, at least there's an understanding. Like,
this is what we're doing.
This isn't love.
Yeah, like, here's the agreement.
Right. He was lying and saying like, oh, I love you, this and that. And so then he also, the fact that he was into falconry.
When they said his hobbies and then the falcon appeared, I died.
I was like,
that's not a hobby.
What the hell?
No one dabbles in falcons.
Yeah, no.
That's either your life or it's not.
Yeah, I don't understand. So,
and he's living in this double wide out by, shout out to the 661, South Palmdale. Holler back at your boy.
Yeah, so he's a freaking loser, and I just loved learning about him because I didn't know any of this before. Now, he has a child with this girl, Natasha was her name? I'm pretty sure. It was, her last name was Pavlovich. I know that for sure.
There you go. That's all we need.
So, Miss Pavlovich and Joe, they hook up. She's all into him. She's seeing the red flags and letting them wave by, and she's just like ignoring them.
Oh, and then she doubles back.
Yeah. He leaves her, then hits her up a year later and is like, let's get together. And she's like, okay. They have a baby together. Now, the part where my jaw dropped was when he decided to pursue his music career in Nashville. He wanted to be a country music star.
He's so not good.
No, he's not good at all.
It's
really cringy.
The fact that
it's like freaking the Tiger guy.
Tiger King. Yeah. Him and Tiger King would be friends. The fact that she's like, I will give you until this kid is in kindergarten.
Yeah, that's 5 years.
Oh, I wouldn't give you 5 minutes.
So Natasha said to Joe, all right, Joe, we'll live in Nashville for 5 years until our little girl is ready for school. If you haven't made it by then, we're moving back to Chicago where we have resources, support,
house. Have all the family. Right. Once she said, she was like 27 relatives and I have a house.
Yeah.
I'm like, why are we still having this conversation? Because right. We're going tomorrow.
So Natasha is fed up at 5 years old of her daughter. And she's like, okay, we're leaving. What does Joe do? Do you remember?
I don't.
He filed a police report.
Oh, yes. Of the molestation.
Claiming that Natasha molested her daughter.
4-year-old daughter.
Who was 4 years old.
Yeah.
Completely lied in order to manipulate the situation. I think that is the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
So I think that I do have the most sympathy for her. And I don't know if that's the angle they were playing or what they were trying to do. Yeah. But really hearing her story was like, there's no way out of this. And you really get the sense that you are fighting against the machine. And this machine has all the money and power.
And she said how, so when Joe and Gwen got together, they put her kid in Remnant Fellowship stuff. And she was like, no, I don't want that.
Well, only Remnant Fellowship stuff.
Right. Nothing secular. She had to spend over, what, $200,000 on lawyer's fees?
Yeah, it's so crazy.
The girl learned how to become a lawyer.
I know.
To fight for her daughter.
Shout out to her. I feel so bad for her.
Yeah.
You'll never get those years
Solidarity
back.
Solidarity to Natasha.
You'll never get those years back. I hope her name's Natasha. Otherwise, this whole segment has been a waste.
It's okay. Natasha, you are Natasha to us. Now, also the fact that Joe basically gets in contact with Gwen, I think through work, because he was like doing some random handyman jobs.
That sounds right.
Because he couldn't like hustle any old ladies.
Yeah.
And so then he learns that Remnant Fellowship has a recording studio.
Got to get those beats in.
He's like, let's make this happen.
How do you think the conversation went with Gwen's son, mm-hmm. who actually can play?
Yeah.
And then this guy who's like, hey, man, let me get 10 in the studio real quick.
I think the kid, Michael, absolutely hates his own life.
Well, of course he does. It's pretty clear.
And his mother and everything.
Yeah, that was a really sad story. Yeah. I felt really bad for him.
Okay, but let's talk about the sister. Her daughter, Elizabeth, fucking scary looking.
Really, really bad. Like, obviously mental issues.
Yeah.
From mom.
Yeah.
Obviously eating issues.
Yeah.
And yeah, she did not look good or healthy.
No.
And then when you downplay tragedy,
yeah,
like you said,
kid dying.
Stepford, you don't mourn or grieve that. Oh, well, you're done.
Dude, you can just see it though. It's like you can see that this woman is like boiling inside, but then she just...
You watch her turn it on when she... And then you watch her turn it on when she walks on stage. And I'm like, I don't believe a word you're saying right now.
Yeah. Now, I will tell you who my favorite character is. Your favorite character was Helen Bird.
Helen Bird,
my favorite
sure.
character was Bob Bean.
Bob was great.
The rancher.
Bob was great. I feel like I have a couple Bobs in my life that I've met before, and they're great people.
So this is my favorite quote. To me, the devil is a myth. But I've met Gwen Shamblin and she's real.
Dude, that was harsh. And I'm like, you nailed it.
Yeah.
And what do you say? They'll have to come pry it from my hands.
Yeah. Basically, this is what's happening with Bob. Bob's wife was like really into Remnant Fellowship. The second Gwen got divorced, Bob's wife dips.
Yeah. And now, he's left. And
yeah, okay. And then they tried to take away his ranch because stupid Joe Lara was like, I want that.
Right. And then you hear everything he has that he's fighting through, and I'm like, oh.
I know.
It's just so sad.
It is. It's just really the saddest. Now, we're getting to the end, but here's the thing. I didn't realize how similar it is in certain ways to Scientology, which we're going to cover next.
Ooh, a little nugget because for the future.
It said that the followers were pressured to always be in a class. You always had to be in some type of way down workshop while you were a member at Remnant Fellowship.
Just to like keep
you. Had
you,
to be paying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You had to be keep paying.
Well, they're asking
their pockets.
You. Dude, and the swaggy? Legit.
The ugliest shirts I've ever
also
seen.
Also legit looked over at my wife and thought, can I grab one of these for Anna? I'm just going to hit you with this Christmas gift of just all
way
the swag.
Workshop?
No, all the swag from every cult we've covered so far.
Oh, that would be dope.
It would be the dopest. I also, but my wife goes, you're not going to give them money, are you? And I was like, oh, I guess that's true.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, always buying. Hey, we just need you to buy some books. And don't
bring the gift
baskets.
You can't just don't bring gifts to these mega festivals that we expect you to donate to. Bring money.
Cash. at the God is Fun Oasis Retreat.
Venmo us at Remnant Fellowship.
It was so bad.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. Now, probably the worst thing in this whole thing is the story of Joseph Smith, which is so weird that that's his name because Mormons, but
not the same guy. No, but so sad whenever you're dealing with a kid. Now here's the part that killed me. When they showed the box,
I was mortified. So sorry, your face
well,
is
you're
making me laugh.
Laughing.
No, your face is making me laugh and I'm so uncomfortable that it's so sad. Yeah, so let's talk about this. Okay. So there's Joseph Smith Senior and Joseph Smith Junior. Senior's the dad, junior's the son.
Senior lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, like what, 80 pounds?
Something like that. An impressive amount of weight. He comes in, does the weigh down workshop from Atlanta.
Yeah. So then they join Remnant Fellowship. They have a couple of kids. Their baby, their infant child, dies of SIDS.
So they claim.
So, yeah. Sudden infant death syndrome. 11 weeks later, their other son, Joseph Smith Jr., also dies. Now, let's preface this with kind of the ideas behind discipline in this group.
So
tell me your thoughts.
In on discipline. Mm-hmm. We are called to be we had to mind our parents the first time. So they're super huge on the first time, not the second or the third. And she makes
it
really...
You will go to hell.
She really makes it apparent. And they are very big on... Oh my gosh. One of the worst stories is when this lady, I think she calls in and thanks them for an unruly child.
Yeah.
And the advice that they got from the guy named Anger, which is fantastic...
Mm-hmm.
Is to remove everything from this kid's...
No, that was Joseph's
parents. Oh, so everything from the kid's room.
Yeah, they locked him in a room for 3 days.
Friday until Monday with nothing but his Bible.
Yeah, so Joseph's parents followed the advice of the Remnant Fellowship leaders, locked little Joseph in a room. He's like 8. He's like little. For a whole weekend with nothing except his Bible.
That's insane.
That's straight up abuse.
Welcome to jail.
Well, they're in jail. So long story short.
Oh, discipline by whatever means necessary. So glue sticks.
Which I'd never, ever heard of in my life.
Must
never
be
even
a Southern,
thought of
must
that.
Be a Southern thing. Now, I was imagining Elmer's glue stick.
No, hot
think
glue
more
stick.
Hot glue stick. Yeah. I'm not a crafter.
I love how you didn't realize that and that immediately clicked for
me. Well, I'm not
a
crafter. I don't have just...
they're whacking you with Elmer's glue.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know how you'd even do that. And I'm like, well, maybe the point at the end would not feel very good.
No.
So Elmer's glue, what else did they say? There was another one that they used too. Back of the thighs.
Yeah, realistically, they would hit on the back of the thighs.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
And
oh, just smack the shit out of you.
And that's really what it is. But they would say that they never, right? She says in her deposition.
Oh, she's a liar.
We never told them to use.
But there's a recording.
I know.
There's recording.
I know.
Yeah, I love how when there was a babysitter that they had hired.
Love the story from the babysitter.
Just hit him hard.
Hit him really hard.
That's horrible.
And then she says no.
So he says yes.
So he takes him into the other room and you can audibly hear him beating his son. And then going into the worship center afterwards like nothing happened.
That's really despicable.
It's the worst. I'm telling you, whatever I gave this cult, we're raising it up a couple notches.
Yeah. So Joseph Smith Jr. is acting out one day and his parents decide it's a really good idea to lock him in a wicker box.
Okay, they say wicker box.
It didn't look like wicker. It looked like a
treasure chest.
Yeah, it looked like a chest.
Yeah, imagine a pirate's treasure chest.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not wicker because when they don't know if it's blunt force trauma from the top,
right,
a wicker basket is not going to kill you.
Right, because it's a little tiny.
Right, pieces. And it's light.
Yeah. It's not a wicker box, but that's what they called it. So it looks like a treasure chest. They put him in the treasure chest. He's making too much noise.
He keeps popping his head up.
Yeah. So they slam the top down, potentially breaking his neck. I mean...
And then
bungee cord the top over so he can't lift his head up. Do they not realize that he was going to suffocate? I don't know.
Right.
So, unfortunately, little Joseph does pass away. They tried to claim it was his eczema.
It's so insane.
How the hell do you make that argument?
It's so insane.
So, long story short, we learned a lot in this
series. I thought it was good. I thought they did a really good job.
Yeah, I thought it was good too, and it taught me more about them. So now let's re-rate. What would you rate it?
Oh, I'm going up to I need to know the original rating. I feel really bad that I don't. I'm going 8+ on this.
Okay.
Possibly even low 9 because of the kid stuff. It's so hard to watch and listen to.
Right. Well, we will continue to follow this story because little Elizabeth Hannah's in charge now. But please follow us on Instagram at the.cult.ure. And if you enjoyed this episode or any of our other episodes, we would love it if you would leave us a review on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps us out. And we're looking forward to seeing you next time.
Yeah, let us know if you want us to review any more docs that are out on any streaming services. Yeah,
send it into the Instagram.
This was kind of a fun thing to do. And next time, we got ourselves a hitter.
We got a big baller Scientology.
We come in.
All right, see ya.